Let's open our Bibles this evening to John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18. And I'm going to read from the King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now let's turn to Psalm 34. I've been looking at this scripture for a number of weeks. And let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Let's see, are we doing that? Psalm 34, starting in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Are we doing that? Well, a few of you are. The rest of you, I guess you're not sure. or you're not awake yet, or one or the other. I'm not sure. But one thing, when it comes to praise, or let's say it another way, when it comes to faith, the primary way, let's say it this way, the primary way to release faith, to exercise faith, is by releasing words or by saying. The primary way, not the only way, so don't get stuck on that. The primary way that you exercise or release faith is by saying, by releasing words. And what greater way than we can release faith in our words by praise and thanksgiving? When we release praise from our heart, we're releasing faith. When we say, praise you, Lord, I boast on you. You're good, God. You've delivered me. You've healed me. And we said, every faith prayer ends in praise. And so when we praise God, we're praising him in most times for things we haven't received yet, things we haven't seen yet. And so faith in God is released by our saying. And I'm you're looking at me like, I know that already. Okay, well, hear it again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So faith comes by saying, or not by saying, faith is released by our saying. And we've covered a number of things. Sunday, we spent some time talking about thanksgiving, and spent some time just talking about being thankful, not ungrateful, but being thankful. And we spent some time, I know there was a scripture that I highlighted in a previous lesson that I thought was a very interesting scripture. It's from a translation we don't normally use or read from. It was from a Living Letters translation. And let me read it to you. It says the Living Letters. It's a paraphrased epistles. It's Proverbs 15:4. It says, gentle words And maybe you might not know this particular scripture. Let me read it out of the King James. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. But I like this translation. It says, gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. Griping brings discouragement. Well, you can't praise God and thank God when you're griping. You get up in the morning, oh man, I gotta get up. Gotta go to work. You're griping. You're complaining about getting up, going to work. I gotta go to work today. I wish it was Saturday. Well, you know, that kind of thinking is, I think I mentioned this to Pastor Greg recently. Let me turn over there so I can share this. We're familiar with this scripture in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So natural people think about natural things. Or you could say carnal people. Carnal people think about carnal things or natural things. Spiritual people think about spiritual things. And before you unhook from me here, that doesn't mean being spooky. You understand? You know what I'm saying? It just means you have your mind on godly things and not natural things. It doesn't mean, woo, you know, we're walking around spooky all the time. No, that's not, that's a church thinking. But it does mean we can get over into the spirit, but we don't live there all the time. But a spiritual person is a person that thinks on spiritual things all the time. Meaning what? When I get up in the morning, praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I stub my toe. Ah, stupid thing. Get out of the way. Get out of the way, you know. Instead of griping about that thing that you tripped on, you see my hands? I fell the other day. I tripped on something. Scuffed up my hands. I mean, pretty good, right? I got up and I said, thank you, Lord. Bleeding all over the place. I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't break my hand. Thank you that I didn't bust something up. Thank you. I didn't even think to gripe. It didn't even come into my thinking. But I just thank God. You see, and that's what I'm talking about, being spiritually minded, that you don't find yourself complaining and griping about things that you are walking through, things that happened to you. You're spiritual minded. You're saying, thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing me through here. Thank you that you're a good God. You know, I would make this suggestion. Every time that you have a faith victory, every time that God brings you through something, you need to keep a little journal, a little book. Keep a little book and write down every time that God delivered you. Write down every time that God answered a prayer. So that when you're going through a tough time, you whip this little boy out here and you say, thank you, Lord, you delivered me there. Thank you, Lord, you delivered me on this date. You're going to do it again. You delivered me here. You delivered me here. You healed me here. You brought the finances in here. You delivered my children here. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you, that will stir you up and do what? Keep you and remind you of all that God has done for you. And so you don't forget. What do we read on Psalm 103 the other day? We said, forget not all his benefits. Here's your benefit book, your little victory book. You keep that there, write down things that he's done for you, and you go back and remind yourself, because sometimes when you're walking through something, you're going, oh God, where are you? And when you forget, you're not reminding yourself of what he did. You need to remind yourself. And when you do that, you see, it's very difficult to be griping and complaining and wondering, where's God? What's he doing? Oh, he's working. He's working it all out. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So we spent some time looking at that and looking at a merry heart and a cheerful heart and looking at the heart and looking at few of the Hebrew words, yada, and we looked at toda and the lifting up of the hands. And we also highlighted Lamentations 3:41, which said, let us lift our heart with our hands unto God into the heavens, into heaven. And I really like that particular scripture verse. There was another one in the Young's literal translation, which says, we lift up our heart on the hands unto God in the heavens. So when we raise our hands, we're essentially lifting up our hearts to God. See? And you need to think about that, and because you should be unashamedly lifting up your hands, lifting up your heart unto God. You know, I was thinking about, we're going to continue now and just pick up here in a second on worship. And turn over to 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10. Before we start there, 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, chapter 10. And verse 10. Talking about griping and complaining and murmuring. Look at verse 10. It says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were what? Destroyed of the destroyer. Now, when you look up that verse in various translations, when you look up in the New International Version, it says, do not grumble. It says, and do not grumble. The Good News Translation says, we must not complain. And I like the Message. It says, we must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontent destroyed them. So when we gripe, we can get over into discontentment, discouragement, and that opens the door, because that's what it said here, and we're destroyed of the destroyer. That discontentment, that murmuring, opened the door to the devil and allowed him to destroy them. So we need to be careful what we talk, what kind of words we release out of our mouths, because we can open the door for destruction in our life by the adversary, just by the words that we release and say. And it's just something that, keep in mind, you praise God and you lift up the name of Jesus. You talk about all that he's going to do in your behalf. You lift up the promises of God and praise him and don't get off that. He said, I am the way and the life. I have come to bring life and life more abundantly. So I just wanted to share that particular scripture verse. Now, let's pick up with worship, and there's so much to cover. We're going to just start this evening, and we'll pick up when we can pick up again. But there's a number of scripture verses. I want to start in the New Testament, and then I think I'm going to go back to the Old Testament if we get there this evening. But in the New Testament, let's go to John chapter 4, familiar scripture verse. And the word that's used predominantly for worship in the New Testament is proskuneo. And it's interesting, that particular word, that Greek word, is used throughout the New Testament. And it means to worship. And it means, means to kiss the hand. It's a token of reverence. And I liked this also. We're talking about seeing some pictures of how the Muslims and the people in the Islamic religion bow in their prayer time. But this said here in the Strong's Concordance, he says, among the Orientals, especially the Persians. Now, anybody who knows Persia is Iran. And it also can make up parts of, they said that the ethnic Persians can be parts, and can be made up in parts of Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, Kurdistan, some of these other areas, there can be ethnic Persians, but primarily it's Iran. And they said, they fall upon the knees and touch the ground with the forehead, as an expression of profound reverence. Now, if you saw the video Sunday, that little snippet, you saw the little girl doing her prayer, what did she do? She bowed her head and touched her head on a little emblem or something. I don't know what the significance of it was, but she touched her head to the floor in reverence to Allah. And I said, Are we, now it's not where we worship, because I think you're going to see that in John 4. It's not where we worship. We can go to read this in John 4. But it's how we worship. And it's really from our heart. Now, they're going through a ritual. But the thought occurred to me, at some point in our lives, we need to bow and reverence to God. And one of the other, it says in the New Testament, by kneeling or prostration, to do homage or to make obeisance, whether in order to express respect or to make supplication. Now, the Strong's Dictionary gets into a whole lot of other things that I guess you have to be a Greek scholar or somebody who reads Greek to understand it, but they give you some definitives here from root words. I thought this was very interesting. Another picture, a word picture, it says here, a derivative of this proskuneo, they said the meaning is to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. Now, we're not a dog, but it just means it shows reverence, it shows love, it shows respect. It's showing a dog to its master. And he is our master. And we should bow because he's so big, he's so great. And so this is just a picture of, again, a dog to its master. They're just painting a picture. But John chapter 4, starting in verse 20, it says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And that's that word proskuneo. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, not maybe or shall be, must worship him. That's proskuneo. That means reverence, a bowing unto him. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as much as there's an outward bowing, it's the heart. It's the heart. It's really, you know, we can get hung up on the outside, and we should. We should bow, we should prostrate, we should reverence God, but it's really our heart that's bowing to him. Because you can worship God just as well here as you can at your home. You can worship God in your car while you're driving to work. You can worship God on your job. And again, that's not being spooky. That just means you're worshiping God in everything that you do. It's really the fruit of your life. And your heart is bowed to him. When I was putting these notes together, I was thinking of a particular scripture. In Proverbs, it's in 16, it says in verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You commit your work unto him, he'll establish your thoughts. See, if you think on him and you keep your mind spiritual towards him, he's going to establish your thoughts. And you're not going to be thinking about all kinds of natural, carnal things. You're going to think on him and keep your thoughts on him, and he's going to establish your ways and your thoughts. So, spiritual people emphasize the spiritual. Now, in the New Living Translation, it further, I say it's just a modern translation. It says, starting in verse 20, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. See, so Jesus was telling him, it doesn't matter where you worship. It doesn't matter where you worship. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is a spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So as we were sharing, worship can be happening all the time. You worshiping him in your heart. Now praise is boasting on the Lord. And another thing, and I think we've all experienced this here. You know, I thank God for Pastor Clinton, who was a psalmist. And he would lead us, and sometimes we'd go from praise into thanksgiving into worship. He didn't stop and say, okay, we're going to now stop praising the Lord, and now we're going to worship. No, it's not segmented. It just flows from praise. We can be praising and boasting on the Lord and then go into worship. Or you could be boasting on the Lord in worship. While you're in worship, while you're worshiping the Lord, you can be boasting on him while you're intimate with God. And so all those things could be going on at the same time. So we're just saying that worship is an intimacy. It involves an intimacy with God, and it is not just us boasting the Lord. In other words, praise brings the presence of the Lord. He inhabits the praises of his people. So that brings the presence of the Lord. Once the presence of the Lord manifests, then worship begins to happen. And worship, I thank God that we were taught in a setting not only by someone who led us in worship, but we saw demonstrations of it and we experienced it. Worship is not just a slow song. Worship is not a sad song. Worship is not a slow song. Worship can be and should be joyful and exuberant. And it can be a soft, slow song. But one of the things that... let me back up here so we can go over and just take a quick look at it. Go to Psalm 95 for a second. I mean, if you just look at the Psalms, you can see that worship is joyful. It's coming from your heart. Psalm 95, it says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a sad noise." Oh, it says a joyful noise. "Let us make a joyful noise to" who? "The rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship." And do what? Bow down. And then do what? "Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Glory to God. So we can see here that worship, we are to do what? We can make a joyful noise. And we experienced that here. We experienced joyfulness. And we also experienced soft settings. And Pastor Clinton, you know this, he used to say the Spirit of God ebbs and flows. He ebbs and flows. He's a person. And it's not all fast and it's not all slow. And so when we enter into worship, I think the one thing that you probably will know this is just to go over things that we've experienced. When we enter into worship, I'm not looking around, looking at my neighbor. I'm either joyful, dancing before the Lord. David danced before the Lord and worshiped him. But when I'm worshiping him, I'm not thinking about anybody else. I'm not thinking about what's going on. I'm thinking about him and him only. And if I'm dancing out in the middle of the floor or I'm up running around here doing something, it doesn't matter. You are just enthralled with him. And so we thank God that in this setting where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we don't quench the Spirit of God. So in a worship setting, in a worship service, there should be freedom and liberty, but there's also order. So you don't run amok and just go off over here and everybody's just flying off and running up and down the aisle. There is, I remember, well, we've experienced it here, but I remember when we were at Peace Hall, Pastor Clinton started a song. I mean, it was like fire erupted. Everybody was up dancing and shouting and worshiping. And then just as quickly as it started, it stopped. See, and there was an orderliness about it. But it wasn't ordered. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't something that said, okay, now we got to stop. No. You just knew. It began to just settle. You see. And so in a worship, in a setting, worship praise, when I say praise, we can boast, we can shout, and we're aware of everybody around us. But in a worship, when we're worshiping, it is not the time to look around, gawking at what's going on, looking at your neighbor, looking, are we done yet? You know, what time is it? Turn around, look at what's going on. That is not the time. And I will share with you, you know, you think that might be, you know, obvious, but Pastor Clinton said this many times to me. He said that when the anointing would come upon him as a minstrel, as a psalmist, he said many times he'd go over and sit at that piano and go, oh God, I don't have anything. I am as flat and dry as this pancake. Because he would be in the office just like you'd be in your office. Sometimes come in, you're tired. Your flesh is tired. Not your spirit, but your flesh is. And you just start in the natural. You just start, okay, I'm going to start a song. That's why when we would sing with him, we'd put a list together, and he'd start, dunk, 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 come down the list, and then he'd say, there he goes. He's off the list. Good. Now he's being motivated by the Holy Ghost, and he'd start deviating, and we'd all get blessed. But you got to start somewhere. And you start in the natural. And then the Holy Ghost kicks in. But the point I'm making is that when we start, when we come in and we begin to praise, we start in the natural. And it is not the time. I mean, we sometimes don't feel like praising the Lord. We don't, you know, you just say, you know what? I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to lift up my hands and bless him and praise him because he's good and he's worthy to be praised. He's so good to me. And I may not feel like it, but I'm going to praise him because he's worthy of it. And that brings his presence. And at that point, we enter into worship and should. And we're not looking around at our neighbor. But he was sharing, let me get back to what I was sharing. He said that he would start in the natural. And at that time, we had some very good musicians. They were trained. Some of them, I know one or two, were touring. So they were skilled. And Pastor Clinton said that when the anointing would come, he said it would rest on him. It would come just like a coat, and it would sit on him. And he began to minister. And he said on many occasions, one of the musicians would do a little boop-boop-boop-boop-boop. Off it would go. Just lift. Because if you're going to do anything, see, if you're a singer or a musician, I'm highlighting singers and musicians because I know. You can take a talent and you can draw attention to yourself and say, I want to sing this high note. God sees your heart. The audience may not. But the God sees your heart. And you could be a musician and say, I'm going to do this little lick to show off. Not necessarily say, I'm going to show off, but hey, I want to do this. And you step away from the anointing when you do that. It's displeasing to God. Where is it coming from? If I'm a singer or I'm a musician, I'm using these skills to worship him in that setting. And when your heart stays in that way, then God begins to do what? He begins to operate through you in those gifts that he's given you. And just like David, that anointing is released. Can be through a harp, can be through a guitar, can be through drums, bass guitar. I know Brother Morris told me that, you know, when they do some settings, he said, you know, some of you may know him. I've never met him personally, but he's very personal friends with Brother Morris, Abraham Laboriel, and there's some of these other very well-known musicians. Very humble. They really don't want to talk about who they've played with, and they've played with all of them. They don't want to talk about it. But when they play, they worship. And so those gifts, because they keep their heart right, they don't draw attention to themselves. How do you draw attention? By what you're doing on that instrument or what you're doing with your voice. And the same thing could happen. You could be skilled in business and say, I'm going to do this. Or you could draw attention to yourself in your giving. You could say, I'm going to give this big amount. You're going to lose your reward that way. Because God can see your heart. You come and worship Him with your giving, with your life, and that's worship. See, sometimes we think it's just in this setting we're worshiping. No, worship is all the time. Worshiping with your heart, with what you're doing, with what you have. Your hands, your lips, your body, your giving. And so the worship, and that's why I say we can worship Him here, and we do, but we worship Him just as well at home, in the car, on the job. And that's why when He said, when the Lord said, it's not where you worship, He said it's not in this place, but it's going to be you worshiping Him in what? Spirit and in truth. And when you look at that word, just take the word spirit and in truth. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. He is truth. And the word is truth. So that means that if you are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, then there's no falseness. There's no falseness at all. There's no pretense. You're not doing something to draw attention to yourself. Truth means you are sincere with God. You're not hiding anything, and He knows everything anyways. And so when you come to Him in spirit and in truth, your heart worships God. It bows down to Him. And there's no, I don't want to say lie about you, but it just means that you are sincere with God. And that to us is spirit and in truth. Truth meaning also the Word of God. Now, just some other scriptures as we spend a few moments here. Turn over to Revelations chapter 5. Revelations chapter 5. And look at verse 7. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, and He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. What did they do? They fell down before the Lamb. And it says, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And odors, it just means incense. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue, and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, thank God, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels, round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. That's a whole lot of folk. Saying with a loud voice, that's going to be us. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And look at verse 14. It says, and the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders did what? They fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. See, this is going on in heaven now. Worship is going on in heaven right now. Right now. Worship is going on. Continually. Blessing and praising God, falling down and worshiping Him that liveth forever and ever. And He said, His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so we ought to be developing and growing in worship so that when we get there, we're not in class 101. I'm only kidding. When you get there, you're going to be worshiping. For sure. You're right there. Go to chapter 7 and look at verse 11. It says in verse 11, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. This is a picture of worship to a great God, to our great God. And in Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, and verse 16 says, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their what? Faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks. See, now they're thanking him. But they fell on their faces in worship. See? So we're talking about thanksgiving here, right in worship. They said, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And he continues. My. Yeah, let's continue. It says, and the nation, because I'm looking at verse 19. I jumped ahead on verse 19. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Now look at 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were what? Lightnings. Oh my goodness. And voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. God is good. And let's go to Revelation 19. And look at verse 4. Well, I'm going to start in verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. That's us. Saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Boy, let's get used to saying it here on this side. Amen. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, That's us, hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. I know they fell down. I know we're going to fall down too. Amen. In worship to our great God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Well, you know what? I'm looking up here. We'll pick up next time. I think one of the things that we need to just keep in mind is that when we come in these church services, let's come ready, and we are, I know that. Let's come prepared for his presence. Let's come prepared to enter in and worship him. And if we stay, you know, one of the things, God could flatten us all out. He could flatten you out on your seat where you're sitting. But he doesn't do that. He wants us to come in and adore him, praise him, exalt him. Then he comes in and he manifests his presence, and we enter into his presence with worship. We worship him. And so I'm convinced, I really am, because I believe that Pastor Clinton saw some things by the Spirit before he left here, this earth. And it was in the 80s. And he said, I saw this. He said, I saw a great crowd of people walking up this driveway saying, What is that? And they saw a manifestation of his glory. They saw a fire. They saw a glory. And these kind of demonstrations are going to come just like Jesus is appearing to the Muslims. These manifestations are going to come to draw people into a place where we've created by our own praise and thanksgiving and worship. Yeah, there's teaching going on, but we're coming in to just exalt him and bless him and praise him, and his presence comes and the glory will manifest. And we could lose track of time. We could look up and go, Who are all these people in here? Where'd they come from? You think it's strange, but I remember Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton were very friendly with Bishop J.C. Hash, who was a Rhema graduate, and he's the pastor or bishop over St. Peter's World Outreach down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And this is many years ago. They were worshiping on their campus, and somebody called the fire department because they said his building was on fire. When they got there, they walked in, they saw the fire, but there was no fire. It was the glory. And they came thinking the building was on fire. And they ran in saying, Okay, we got to put the fire out. They saw it, but they said, There ain't no fire. They saw it, but there was no fire. See, and that's what I'm talking about. That God is going to supernaturally begin through his people, through praising him. We create the atmosphere. We have to come and worship him and praise him. He's waiting on us to create this environment for Him to come down, and then we worship Him. Oh, I'm telling you, it's exciting times. Oh my goodness, this is exciting times to be alive. Oh boy, it's exciting. It is exciting times. Well, I'm going to unhook for a moment, and we'll see you in another moment of time. Amen. I know I'll unhook here, but I remember when Brother Hagin was alive, some of the last meetings that he did, and I don't remember where it was. I think it was Birmingham, Alabama, but anyways, I could be wrong on that. But when their crusade director came, they said some of the demonstrations that were operating through Brother Hagin were beginning to be just really beyond supernatural. They were just super supernatural. They said he was here and went, "Whoo!" And he was there. He was here and then he was there. He didn't scoot up the aisle. He was here, and then he was there. And they saw it. So we're going to see things that are unusual. I know I was in, years ago, I used to go in regularly into the Kenneth Copeland meetings. When I would go, into the intercessory prayer room. And I started doing that back in the 80s. I went to the Charlotte meeting, and I went to the Worldwide Communion meeting and a few others. And we would be in the prayer room, in the intercessory prayer room. And we would be in there if it was a 6-day meeting, we were in there three times during the day, and then we would go into the meeting. But some of the most unusual demonstrations started to happen in the intercessory prayer room. And I remember at the Worldwide Communion meeting, which I think was in 82, big room, a lot of people in there praying and interceding. And the man leading said, "Go bring in all the singers and musicians." And he brought in Phil Driscoll, all the musicians, and they were in there blowing horns, and just, it was something. And so you had worship going on in the intercessory prayer room with all of the musicians and all of the singers just worshiping God. And some of the most unusual demonstrations in that room, but it happened in a setting where there was worship and prayer going on. And so it's an exciting time. God is moving in His people. And it's exciting. And He's moving in this earth. And boy, stay ready. Praise God. Amen. Anybody have any comments or thoughts this evening? If not, we'll unhook and we'll see you another time.